still our hearts in the presence of the Lord this morning and seek the face of God. Just let's bow our heads before Him. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise Thee for the privilege of hearing and gathering in Thy house to hear Thy Word. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt take of Thy Word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray that, Lord, that Thou wilt challenge us afresh. And grant, Lord, that we might realize that those who are saved today are so privileged and so richly blessed. We thank Thee, our God, for Thy goodness to us in days that are past. And upon the meditation of Thy Word, Lord, our hearts have been thrilled. And today, Lord, we come afresh to Thee. And today we ask of Thee that Thou wilt fill us with that enduement which is from above, that as we speak, that we might not speak as the words simply that man would say, but that we might speak in the demonstration and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And we pray that Christ will be glorified, that the Lord Jesus Himself will be uplifted, and that men and women and young people might be drawn to saving faith in Christ. Hear and answer our prayer, for we ask these things believing in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Job and the chapter 25. 25th chapter of the book of Job. Just a few verses from this passage of God's infallible truth. Job chapter 25, reading the 6 verses that are found therein. Then answered Bildad the Shushite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies, and upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm." And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We have been endeavoring these Sabbath mornings to answer the question, who am I in Christ Jesus? We have been speaking primarily to the people of God, for it's only those who are saved, those who are under the blood, that are in reality in Christ. What a wonderful privilege it is to be secure and safe in Jesus Christ. To know that you are redeemed, to know that you are purchased by His blood, and to know that whatever happens, that you shall never perish, but that you shall have forever and ever eternal life with Christ. We have, in answering to the question, who am I, been studying God's Word and speaking about the doctrine of creation. Who am I in creation? For God created me. God made man. Who am I in creation? And then secondly, we noticed, who am I by regeneration? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. By the new birth. And thank God for everyone, like Nicodemus, who not only knew the necessity of the new birth, but has come to personal faith in Jesus Christ and has experienced new life in and through Christ Jesus. And then last Lord's Day, we were asking the question, who am I, considering the doctrine of propitiation? And therefore, we sought to open the Scriptures together and sought to understand a holy God who condemns sin, but in His love, God sent His Son as our substitute to suffer our condemnation for us, and indeed, to be our propitiation, the one who appeased the wrath of God and satisfied the God of heaven, by the sacrifice of himself. And now this morning we want to answer the question, who am I? When we consider the doctrine of justification, you notice when we read in the book of Romans, it spoke about therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God. The great doctrine, the great eternal truth of the doctrine of justification by faith in Christ alone. The Word of God says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But what does it mean, justification? And what does it say concerning who I am when I say that I am justified in Jesus Christ alone? The question is asked in the book of Job. It asks this question, how then can man be justified with God? How can it happen that man, sinful man, can be justified with God? Now, when it comes to this great doctrine of justification, I want you to turn with me just to some verses this morning, and we'll try to explain just exactly what do we mean by justification and our standing being justified. In the book of Romans chapter 8, it says in the verse 30 these words, moreover, whom he did predestinate, that is Romans chapter 8, one of the tremendous chapters of comfort to the hearts of God's people. It says that all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to know that there's nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But in verse 30 it says this, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so therefore, those whom God effectually calls, regenerates, are also justified. And those whom God justifies, praise God, he glorifies. Justification is never found by itself. It's, as it were, a part of the golden chain of the redemptive work of God. Justification is by faith. But there can be no faith except in the one who is regenerated by the Spirit of God. And regeneration is accomplished in those whom the Lord hath chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 4, it says this, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Go to verse 4 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we see here that justification, yes, is a, as it were, a link in the golden chain of the redemptive work of Christ. But the question is asked, but what is justification? Now, for those that have been through our Sabbath school, they will know that in question 33 of the Catechism, it asks the question, what is justification? And the answer to that question is this, that justification is an act of God's free grace. It is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardoneth all our sins. Doesn't stop there, because that's where the mistake is. And some people can get into heretical theories and teachings when they stop there. Not only are we pardoned of all our sins, but we are accepted as righteous in God's sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Now you say to me, but that's a tremendous statement, but what does it really mean? What does it really mean? It says that it is an act of God's free grace whereby which He pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Justification certainly answers the perplexing question, how can a sinful man be just with God? How can a sinful man be just with God? And the answer is in the understanding and the knowledge of the truth of the doctrine of justification. Now the tragic fact is this, that many today do not realize how sinful they really are. The Word of God reminds us there is no difference, for all have sinned. And friend, that's where we must start. Man is a sinner. And being a sinner, he is polluted, he is vile, he is unworthy, he is hopeless, he is helpless, he is depraved, he is without hope. And yet today, many don't realize that that's exactly their standing without Jesus Christ. And if they're not justified before God, friend, then they are guilty before God. They stand condemned before God. And friend, as you sit in God's house today and you've been singing the songs of Zion, but you are not justified before God in His sight. You have never been accepted as righteous in His sight. You have never experienced the pardoning grace of God in your life. Then you are in your sin. And in your sin you are vile, you are depraved, you are polluted, you are helpless, you are hopeless, you are unworthy, you are unclean. And that's your standing before God. And friend, that's not a pretty picture. If God would but by His Spirit just open our hearts and show us how sinful we really are, and then realize that because of that sin, there is the wrath of God that is due. There is the punishment of God that is due. There is the hell that awaits the ungodly because of a sin. Then surely we would be shaken if we not only saw the seriousness of our sin, but the seriousness of the penalty of our sin. For the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. And let me tell you, friend, if you die unsaved person in this service, if you die without Christ, the morn of hope will never come. The light of a day will never dawn upon you, because you will go out to what the Bible speaks about. It is a place of the outer darkness. It is a place of the blackness of darkness forever, where the worm dieth not, and where the fire is never quenched. And it's only when a person realizes by the power of God's Word and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit just what utter pollution dwells in his heart. Why do you practice sin? It's because you have a sinful nature. The pollution of your heart, listen my friend, it is as it were a stench in the very nostrils of God. Oh, the depths of the pollution of your sinful heart. You know, people say, I try to do good. And yet the heart of man, the Bible says, is deceitful. It's so deceitful, friend, that it even blinds you to the awfulness of your heart. It blinds you to the awful stain of your sin and the blackness of your soul. It is deceitful above all things. There is not a more deceitful thing than a sinner's heart. And the Word of God goes on to say, and desperately wicked. Listen, who can know it? You can't imagine. You and I could not imagine how deceitful and sinful and polluted our own hearts were in the state of sin, in the state of nature. But it's only as we realize that, and it's only as the Holy Spirit of God brings that to our hearts, that we can really learn what it means to be justified. Because therein we see the wonder of justification. When we see the depths of our depravity and our lostness. And when we see just exactly who we are in nature, in self and in sin. And see the awfulness of our sin before a holy God. Then we will see the wonder of the blessings that come in salvation and in justification. Because it tells us that whom God calls, them he also justifies. And whom God justifies, them he also glorifies. Because you see, there's a lovely statement over in Romans chapter 8, which reminds us of the great wonder of justification. In verse 33 of chapter 8 it says, who then shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Isn't that amazing? So when we are talking about this doctrine of justification, friend, and we try to grasp and understand the meaning of it, listen, it is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardoneth all our sins. And he accepts us as righteous in his sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. It's God that justifies. How can a man be just with God? It is God that justifies. Justification is something that we cannot bring about by ourselves. I can't bring it about by myself. It's not a religious exercise. It's not a religious ritual in which we are called upon to engage. In fact, it doesn't mean that we are, or that we become, or are made inherently good or upright, or holy to be justified. Because God justifies at the moment when God justifies us, He justifies the sinner. It happens. When we still of ourselves are sinful and unworthy. But it is God that justifies. Thank God. We who are justified. We in our lives will experience personal holiness. By a process which takes time. That's sanctification. But justification is not a process. It is an instantaneous act of God applied immediately the moment the sinner believes, receives Christ. The moment you receive Christ, my friend, you are justified. You're justified. Well, what is it? What is this term? Now, the Old Testament term justify or justification means to declare judicially that one state is in harmony with the demands of the law. In the book of Exodus chapter 23, in the verse 7 it says, keep thee far from a false matter and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. It is therefore strictly a legal term. Justification is a legal declaration. It is a legal term. The Church of Rome denies the legal meaning of the term and instead ascribes to it the moral sense to make just or righteous. But that's not what the scriptural meaning of justification is. The New Testament term means, in general, to declare a person to be just. That the demands of the law as a condition of life are fully satisfied regards a person. It once again is a judicial term. It is a legal declaration. And that's what I want us to understand. But what does it really mean, this legal declaration? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse number 11, it says these words, "When men strive together, one with another, and the wife of one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand and taketh her by the secrets, then thou shalt cut off her hand, thine hand shalt not pity her." A judgment will be made. Judgment will be made. And what I want you to notice, human judges are obliged to declare the righteous to be righteous and the wicked to be guilty. We couldn't have it otherwise. You can't declare a person who is guilty righteous. The judge cannot declare a person who is righteous to be wicked. The earthly judge doesn't, by his condemnation, make a person wicked. No, he declares him to be wicked. He doesn't make him. The judge declares it because he is already wicked. Regeneration brings a change of nature. Justification declares a change of status. I think to try and understand that, you could see the difference between the work of a surgeon and that of a judge. When a surgeon does his work and he removes the cancer, he does something in us. But a judge doesn't. A judge doesn't do anything in you. What a judge does, he simply makes the declaration of your judicial status. He states what you are, either right or wrong, either innocent or guilty. He doesn't do anything in you. Regeneration, it institutes a change of nature because we're given a new nature. But justification declares a change of status. God declares us to be righteous in his sight. Now, a judge couldn't do that. No judge on earth can do that. To declare righteous those who themselves that are ungodly, who are unrighteous. If man were to do that, the Bible tells us that's an abomination. We have had some wrong judgments in Ulster over the years. We have had judges sitting on the bench, and we have heard them to declare them innocent, yet they were as guilty as sin. And the Word of God reminds us that if a judge does that which is wrong and gives the wrong judgment, it is an abomination in the sight of God. And yet God declares the sinner righteous. He makes a legal declaration. God declares the sinner, the unrighteous, as righteous. Now, how does God do that? Because God provides the legal basis upon which he can declare the ungodly to be just. How, friend? How can God do it? And that brings in another teaching of the Word of God, by imputation. The word impute means to reckon or credit. Imputation. to reckon, to think, to regard. And God, by imputation, is able to cause the sinner to legally possess a righteousness and to be free from unrighteousness. How? Well, let's go back to the question 33 in the Catechism. What is justification? It's an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed or reckoned to us. The righteousness of Christ was reckoned to us. You see, on the cross of Calvary, friend, there was a mighty transfer. The Bible says that our iniquities were laid on him. And so what happened was the iniquity of the sinner was placed upon Christ. They were reckoned to Jesus, the sinless, spotless, holy Lamb of God, the one who knew no sin. In him there was no sin. But on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ bare our sins, and our sins were reckoned to Christ. And all the punishment and all the pain and all the judgment and all the hell that was due for those sins, Jesus Christ there upon the cross. But not only were my sins reckoned to Christ, and he satisfied the law, and every bit of the law was perfectly satisfied. And Jesus Christ suffered all the punishment that was due for our sin. But praise God, his righteousness was reckoned to me. My sins were reckoned to his account. And his righteousness was reckoned to mine. You see, God has a legal basis wherein he pardoneth all our sins, wherein he accepts us in his sight, not because of anything that we have done, not because of any righteousness that we have, because all our righteousnesses are a filthy rags in God's sight, but because of the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed or reckoned to me. Christ kept the law perfectly, and thus he freed and freely offered a perfect righteousness to the Father on my behalf. He stood in my room. He stood in my stead. And a righteous God considered my guilt to belong to him, and thereby I'm freed from the guilt and the punishment of my sin. And when that transfer was made, and when I came by simple faith and rested upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, praise God, friend, I stood in God's sight, robed in the righteousness of Christ, just as if I never had sinned. Justification. It's a legal term. It brings you into the courtroom. It brings you before the bar of God, friend. My, we could say if that isn't love. That God's Son would leave heaven's glory, and there he would come down into this world and would die as my substitute, the innocent dying for the guilty, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, the law keeper for the lawbreaker, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. I rest today alone upon Jesus Christ. And justification is an inward change of standing before God rather than the outward change of standing before men. Now the Bible says that faith without works is dead. Faith in Christ alone and in his righteousness and in his blood and in his substitutionary death and upon his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. Thank God, by faith I'm justified before God. My works justify me before men. They see my works, and it glorifies my Father, which is in heaven. The just shall live by faith. And friend, faith is simply the hand that reaches out and takes the blessing of justification. It's not faith that justifies you. It is the righteousness of Christ which you're robed in. And God pardons all your sin. And in pardoning all your sin, he accepts you in as righteous in his sight. As you stand in his Son and robed in the righteousness of his Son, you stand as just you never had sinned. Justified. Justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, what follows? We have peace with God. To know that you stand in the sight of a holy God, friend, just as if you never had sinned. You have peace with God. You have rest. You have rest of, and peace of conscience. You have peace of mind. You have peace of soul. Peace with God. No longer strangers. No longer afar off. But peace with God. That's why the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, and I realize time's away this morning. It says this. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Why? Why is there no condemnation? Because we're justified. We're justified. We stand in the righteousness of Christ. I have no righteousness of my own to claim. But thank God I have a perfect righteousness before God, which declares me so that as if I never had sinned, the righteousness of Christ alone. Now there's some person maybe here in the service this morning, you say, preacher, but I thought that I could work my way to heaven. I thought if I do good works, that somehow that would justify me before God. He'll open up the door of heaven and let me in. Friend, let me tell you, all your righteousnesses. See all those works that you're trying to do to somehow merit you some favor? They're as
filthy rags. Filthy rags in God's sight.
But you this morning can see in Christ alone redemption. Thank God, salvation. And you can stand complete in Christ if you come by faith and receive the covering of His precious blood, and by faith receive the righteousness which He offers freely in the gospel. And you can go home just as if you never had sinned, in God's sake. You can go home accepted in the Beloved. Brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Justification. It's a legal statement. It's a legal declaration. It's not a process of work. It is a once for all declaration. It is an immediate declaration of God in the courtroom. Justified by faith in Christ alone. May God bring you to His Son today. May the Spirit of God show you your heart as you really are in your sin, the awfulness, the sinfulness, the putrefying sores of your soul. But may God open your eyes to see the beauty and the holiness and the richness of Christ for Jesus' sake.